So welcome back. I thought in this session, what we would do is we would go specifically into talking about how we migrate applications that right now, let's say you have applications on premises and you're running them as you are, and hopefully you're already running them in a Hyper-V environment, so in a virtualized environment. And if that's actually the case, then moving them over into Windows Azure actually really becomes that much easier. And that's what we're going to go through in this session in terms of what to think about as you're moving things over, what kind of applications you want to think about moving over into infrastructure as a service. And in the next session, you'll actually kind of think about applications and moving them from on-premises to platform as a service or cloud services. So you want to make sure that as you're watching both this session and then watch the next session as well, you'll get this sort of concept of which one works better for my application. So let's dive right into it. When we think about migration approaches for applications moving into Windows Azure, right, you really can think about it in two different ways. And it comes down to you can either build right from the cloud, right? And that's you're going to go into the gallery. We actually went through this in the cloud variation workshop, which is on demand as well, and you can watch it there. But you can go into the gallery, you can create a brand new server online, it gets provisioned for you within Azure, and then you can go ahead, remote desktop into it, set it up, and basically configure right from your machine in the cloud. Now, the nice part about this is that because you're actually provisioning it online, you're provisioning it on Azure already, you don't have this issue of having to worry about that upload part, right? Because when you have your application on premises and you have your VHD ready to go, right, in the second approach that we're going to talk about, which is migrating an existing virtual machine, that one you're actually going to have to take that VHD, move it up into Windows Azure. The moving part isn't actually difficult at all. It's actually that, let's say a typical machine is going to be 30, 40 gigs worth of data on that VHD. So during that time, those 30 and 40 gigs you're going to have to upload to Windows Azure if you're going with migrating an existing environment. Now, that might be preferable, and that's fine. Don't worry about it. Just keep in mind that you, at that point, you're still tackling about, I don't know, depending on how big your pipe is, it might take you up to a week to upload that file. Now, the nice thing is with the utility that actually you use, which is called CS Upload, to upload it, it's not a problem in terms of worrying about, what if the connection goes down or, all of these different things. The actual tool that does it monitors that for you. It's going to make sure that it takes care of if it needs to reconnect or, it makes sure that every byte that's going up is going up properly. Or even better yet, and this is the feature I love, any kind of empty spaces in the hard drive, it actually won't upload at all, right? So it actually makes that process very streamlined. So, the pro of starting in the cloud, you don't have to worry about uploading. Of course, the pro of migrating your existing environment is it's your existing environment. Everything is already set up, ready to go, so you don't actually have to worry about reconfiguring the entire thing. Okay. Now, when you start in the cloud, okay, so we talked about the upload. Now let's talk about the configuration. Starting in the cloud, you don't have that configuration. So you have to reconfigure basically your entire environment all over again so that it fits in that environment. Now, you might be looking at this and saying, well, yeah, you know what? That's actually a great idea because it's an opportunity for us to tweak and optimize and do whatever you need to do. Now, of course, you might say, well, no, we have things up and running smoothly. We don't want to tinker around with it. So, you kind of look at that second option and say, well, yeah, I'm going to take all my application, my configuration, and my data that's already in working state and then move that up. Okay. So, different ways of looking at it. There's pros and cons to both. So, you just want to make sure that you pick the one that's right for your particular situation. So when we look at the migration process, right, the nice thing is whether you bring in your own VHD or whether you're provisioning it directly in the cloud, one of the things that you want to keep in mind is this concept that as you bring your virtual machine up, what it does is it creates this cloud service. And that's effectively that network boundary of yours, where all of the virtual machines that you're going to upload, of course, assuming you want them in the same network, as long as you upload them all into the same cloud service, the NUT actually makes sure that all of those virtual machines can talk to each other just simply out of the box by uploading them into that cloud service, right? So it actually makes the name resolution easier. It makes DNS very easy because Windows Azure actually provides the DNS for you in that case, right? And the communication between all of those is seamless because they are technically, or what appears to them, they're technically in the same network boundary, we'll call it, right? So the only point there being, once you're uploading them, regardless of how you're uploading or regardless of how you're starting your application, whether you're uploading it or whether you're building it directly from Windows Azure, as long as it's in that cloud service, that's sort of what your architecture is going to look like. Now, in the first session, you actually saw, I won't do this demo right now because actually Richard did the demo in the first session, right? When he was talking about his general migration thoughts and how to go about it. But what I wanted to touch on here when we're talking about migrating those web farms is really that as long as I showed you in the previous diagram where you're building them up into the same cloud service, you are in fact recreating that web farm. If you're bringing it again from on-premises over here, that web farm is created there. If you're building it directly in the cloud, when you go into the wizard, Windows Azure actually asks you, hey, do you want a standalone virtual machine or do you actually want to connect it to an existing cloud service? And by connecting it to an existing cloud service, that's actually where you're getting this concept of the web farm, okay? If you missed that demo, make sure that you watch Richard's session when you get it on demand, and then that way you'll see what I'm talking about. So now let's look at this migration process, okay? The nice thing about this, especially when we're bringing our own VHD, and here you go, a new acronym for you, BYOV, bring your own VHD, right, is that if you're currently running your application in Windows Server with Hyper-V, and you already have things in VHD, well, then that's the actual format that actually also runs in Windows Azure. Perfect. So you don't actually have to do anything extra in order to get that file over. Now, if you're using a different virtualization product, let's say you're using VMware, that's okay too. The only difference for you is that there's one more step in having to convert the file from whatever it is that you're using, convert it into Hyper-V, and then push it over, right? So it makes uploading actually relatively simple. The only additional piece in there is that conversion piece. Once everything is in that Hyper-V format, then we have CS Upload, which is actually a tool that just comes with the SDK. So as long as you downloaded the SDK, you already have this. If not, there's links at the bottom for you to download it, so go ahead and do that. And what that tool will do, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to take care of streaming the file up. It's going to take care of retries. It's going to take care of failed transfers. And what it does do is make sure that that upload is efficient for you so that it doesn't send things like empty bytes, right? It's going to do whatever it can to make sure that it gets your VHD up there as soon as possible. And then once it's up there, you're good to go. Now, having said that, the one thing I want to make sure that you kind of keep in mind, and I learned this the hard way, so I'm telling you ahead of time, as you're creating that environment that you're going to bring up to Windows Azure, now this doesn't apply if you're starting from Windows Azure, it's really if you're migrating over, do yourself a favor, make sure that you enable remote desktop before you bring the VHD up. Reason I say that, once the VHD is up in Windows Azure, and it doesn't have that remote desktop capability, you have no way of actually now getting into the server. So why I say I learned this the hard way is because I, in fact, forgot to do that in my virtual machine. I come in to manage it, and I can't connect. Remote desktop isn't enabled. But if you enable it beforehand, once everything is up and running and configured, it's just a click of a button at the bottom of the management portal there, and boom, you're in. If you don't turn that on, you actually have no way of even configuring remote desktop, so you'd have to go back to your on-premises version, enable remote desktop up there, and then do the entire transfer over again. If you can avoid that, it's probably going to give you a lot less headaches than having to realize once you've spent however long it is that you've spent uploading it to then realize that. So let's look at the actual migration process. Okay, on the left here, we have our on-premises virtual machine. you know, it has its configuration there. You'll notice that it has three different hard drives: guest, guest, and guest, C, D, and E. Each one of those being a different VHD. Now that's actually a great thing to do, and I'm sure you're already doing this, but having it disconnected like that or organized into different drives actually allows you to only migrate what you need. So let's say, for example, you don't want to migrate the logs, you just want to start a fresh log when you get up there. Sounds good, right? So you don't have to upload that VHD. So basically what we do, you take those VHDs that you have from your on-premises system, you're going to detach them from the virtual machine on-premises. You'll upload them using CS Upload, or of course there are other tools that can do this as well. It's just CS Upload comes with the free Azure tools, okay? You'll upload that into Windows Azure Storage. Once it's on there, you're gonna go ahead and create the virtual machine. And instead of now saying, okay, create me a brand new hard drive, you can actually just say, use this hard drive from my Windows Azure Storage. Nice thing is, CS Upload takes actual care of making sure that the wizard that's gonna do this virtual machine creation for you will know that that's actual hard drive that you can use. And if you're uploading an operating system disk, then there's actually just another flag for CS Upload to tell it that it's a bootable disk. Makes things nice and easy. So we have our OS disk, then we configure all of the additional disks. Again, the nice thing is that in the portal, again, at the bottom of the screen, you just go in and say, hey, attach disk, select the disk from storage. No need to shut down the machine. It's actually just going to take care of it for you. You'll attach that hard drive over to the machine, and you're done. Okay. Now, of course, it seems simple. Oh, by the way, don't forget to adjust the drive letters for your applications. I'm assuming your application needs things to be on a certain drive letter. Now, when you attach the VHDs over to the new virtual machine in Windows Azure, you're not guaranteed the same drive letters. So all you have to do is just make sure that you either manually change that or you can write a PowerShell script to do that for you. It's all good. What I was saying before was that it seems all nice and simple when you have four steps here in order to get your virtual machine. And technically, or I should say in theory, that's what's going to happen, right? Now, in actuality, chances are you're going to have a couple of other steps from your on-premises things to do a little bit more of preparation, but at least from the migration part into Windows Azure, that's all you need to worry about. Okay, last but not least, once you have your virtual machine up there and it's up and running and configured, keep in mind from a security perspective, okay, it's not going to have access to anything. Or I shouldn't even say that. You're not going to have access to it other than remote desktop. So what you want to make sure you do is once the virtual machine is up and running, don't forget to add in whatever endpoints that you need. Let's say in the case of my example here, I have a web server. So I want to make sure that I add in TCP ports 80 and 443 so that IIS can actually be exposed to the outside. If it's a SQL server that you're moving over, you'll open 1433, whatever it is. Point being, make sure that you open those endpoints because by default, they will not be open for you. So let me just show you a quick demo of what CS Upload looks like. And I'll switch over to my other screen here, where I'm basically all this is an upload script. And actually, if you look at the bottom of the screen and you go into the hands-on labs that I've indicated there, you actually can get this script straight from those labs. And so basically, if we look at the text here, it's actually quite simple. All you're doing in here is you're getting it from the tools. Notice there is subscriber ID or subscription ID in here that you have to fill out that the portal gives you. So you're going to copy it from the portal. You're going to paste it in here. Same thing with a certificate thumbprint. That's, again, just the certificate that your computer has in order to connect with the portal. So that's that first command there to CS Upload, and that's really from a configuration perspective. Okay, and then the next one, very simple, right? We can read it almost as English. Add disk, okay? So you're gonna add a VHD. Here's the literal path, which means this is the path that's actually on my computer. And the destination is where I wanna push it to. Now, you're gonna fill this in, right? Let me indicate that here. fill this in, right? Whatever that address is of your storage account, now if you've allowed the wizard, the Windows Azure wizard, to create it for you, it's going to be kind of like what I had in there, portal and some long number or you know, characters. Or if you set up your own storage account where you want to put your VHDs, then you'd fill in just the account name portion into that and then point it to where you want your VHD to go. In my case, I'm putting in a container called VHDs, and I'm calling the VHD my data disk, right? Last thing you got to do is you got to give it a label, and that's just from the portal so that you actually know what it looks like or which VHD is which. Believe it or not, that's actually it for that. All you have to do now, double click on it, done. Now, where this becomes very handy is actually if you're not so much doing it from a one-time migration, but to script out your entire migration. Let's say you're moving several machines over, right? This way, if you're doing it through a commandlet like this, or just whatever you want to use to automate it, technically, this is just using the service API. So you could technically write a C# application to do the exact same thing. It's up to you. Point being, if you're moving over several machines, what you want to think about is that automation piece. Okay, and the last thing that you want to do is constantly be checking back and forth. Hey, is it finished? Is it finished? If I script everything out, then technically I can come back to it and basically, you know, when I'm done configuring all of my machines, double click on the script and my migration process start. I can come back whenever, you know, give it a couple of hours or a couple of days and see how it's done. Okay, so that's an easy way to get your VHDs up there. So now let's talk about imaging and what that means for virtual machines up in Windows Azure. Now, when we think about imaging VMs, and this is more for those of you who are starting your migration process from a machine in Azure. So you're not uploading your VHD, you're actually just starting right from the portal. So what happens is you basically have your base VHD. And actually, you know what? I'm going to take that back because it does actually apply to both methods. The concept of imaging is really so that you get a template up into Windows Azure and then you image it, so it effectively creates a template, and then you can continue to provision as many of those as you want. So think about an application. Let's say you have a distributed application that today on premises you have, I don't know, two instances, let's say, and you're going to bring, obviously, the two instances are the same, so you don't have to upload two of them. What you can actually do is just upload the one, right? Then once it's up there, you're going to configure it if you need to do anything like that, and then you image it in Windows Azure. That's going to create that template for you so that now subsequent instances that you want, you're just going to go into the wizard now and say, provision me this template. So web server 123 for this particular app, provision as many as you want, right? So you actually want to think about this ahead of time as you're doing your migration strategy to say, I don't want to upload machines. What you want to upload is a template of machines because, again, you're moving to the cloud, you're probably thinking scalability, right? So you want to make sure that whatever it is that you're uploading it in such a way that you can have it scalable. Now, scalable means different things for different applications, which is fine. But if you have an application where it has, let's say, multiple web front ends, you only need to move the one, and then you can provision the rest as actual from the actual images. Now, of course, this is a great thing to get into the habit of doing because you don't know. Today, you might be running four instances. Tomorrow, you might need 10. If you're thinking about them as single machines and not thinking of them as instances of one machine, when you need to scale it up, you're going to have to do all of that manually, which is not something you want to do. Anyway, so let's look at what imaging looks like in Windows Azure. So we have our base VHD. That's that VHD that we uploaded, right? We boot the virtual machine. We customize it as we need. And then we do the generalization process. And this is what you would expect Sysprep to do. And it takes out all of all of the specifics of the machine, like machine names, IP configuration, so on and so forth. And then it does something called a capture, right? So that's actually taking whatever the state of that machine is after that generalization, and now taking that VHD, putting it up in Blob storage. Once it's there now, that's where you get that scalability from, where now I have a template of my application and I can spin as many of those as I want. Now think about this too. When you're moving these applications into Windows Azure, is there a possibility for you to now extend the functionality of your users to be able to provision instances of an application on their own? You may not have the capabilities to do that today with your application on premises, but in this world, after we've imaged and after we've sort of created that template, think to yourself, hey, maybe there is no harm in me giving users, potentially maybe developers, or I don't know if you want to go all the way out to the business users, but someone else maybe, the power or the capability in the portal to provision these systems. You know that the underlying system is good because you've created it as a template. So really all they're doing from the wizard is actually just filling in machine names and putting it on a network. Depending on your application, that may be harmless. And if it is harmless, definitely something that you want to do, right? It actually just takes off that burden of infrastructure management, gives it potentially to someone else, because all they're doing is provisioning through a wizard. It's an option. You don't have to take it. Okay. So now let's look at, from creating images perspective, again, Richard did this in his demo. What I want to show you is actually how I can take images and then do a whole bunch of things with them. So I'll switch over here to my demo. And now we're looking at the Windows PowerShell IDE, where you can actually just see that I'm importing the Azure commandlets, and that's what I'm going to do. Very similar to what you saw in the previous script, where again, we're filling in our script name over here, and we're filling in our storage account, and then we're filling in our subscription name. Okay, those are just administrative things. What you want to look at is here in the service name, this is where I'm actually giving the name of a current machine, right? And once I'm able to do all these things, you see here, I can actually export virtual machines, import virtual machines, and now these virtual machines are actually just coming from either images, or I can actually export, if you see here on this line and this line, I can actually export the configuration of machines, and rather than using them as images that are in the gallery for Windows Azure, I can actually just say, you know what, these are images or image settings that I'm going to take and I'm going to bring down to my computer. And now I can script out adding and removing. So actually, let me switch first to add, right? So you'll notice here, that's that XML file where I have all the configuration. I would have taken it from one of these machines that that I've uploaded previously. And notice I'm just saying in here to the script, import these virtual machines, right? So think about this. Think about it as part of a build process, or think about it as just a migration strategy in general, where you don't need the VMs all the time in running in Windows Azure. The idea being you migrate it over once, and then you can script out how you interact with it afterwards, right? So this is my add. You can see here I'm actually adding two machines. And then similarly, I can remove, right? And when I remove, you don't have to export the settings. That's really just in case you kind of want to have those, or more importantly, if you're going to automate this afterwards, you're going to need to have those settings. But just like here in add, I had new Azure VM. In remove, I would have the opposite, remove Azure VM. That's simple, right? So you can have that in your C#, but I would say to you, A, why bother? Because then you have to get developers involved. I mean, you are developers, but if you can give this off to your infrastructure folk, then you don't have to be involved. Not to mention the fact that they should be fairly comfortable working with PowerShell. And if they're not, you can develop this script once, and then you don't have to worry about it afterwards, and they can actually just fill in the configuration details. But again, you're thinking about from a migration perspective, you're thinking about automation, automation, automation. Whatever you can automate is just stuff that will, if you're thinking about scale, it's stuff that you're not going to have to do manually afterwards. And that's really what you want to get your mindset into, especially when you're going into the infrastructure as a service world, where it has the capability of bringing in all of these system level settings or environmental settings. right? So if you can create a template that has that and then script the using, so provisioning and then deprovisioning, makes your life a lot easier. Let's switch over and talk about virtual networks now. Now, virtual networks is one of those things where you want to look at it from trying to mimic as much as possible your on-premises network, or more importantly, having to connect a system in the cloud, so a system in Windows Azure, as a hybrid system back to your existing data center. Let's say you only want to migrate web front ends and you want to keep a database server behind on-premises. Virtual networks is what actually allows you to do that. Now, Richard went through some of this, showed you how to set up virtual networks in his session. What I wanted to show you here is really just talking about why we actually need a virtual network, right? Or instances where you would need the virtual network. So think about these in terms of when you need specific IP address requirements, right? I need my server to be on this specific IP address. I need it to be able to talk specifically this way to these devices, so on and so forth, okay? So in a virtual network, you can actually configure those, whereas when we're thinking about the platform as a service world, you don't have as much control over the networking of the machines, okay? Now, when we're thinking hybrid, that's again, virtual networks has this ability to take your network from Windows Azure and connect it back to your network in your data center. Now, only caveat with this one is that it does actually require a little bit of configuration on both sides. But more importantly, actually, depending on the hardware that you have, virtual networks for Windows Azure only work with a specific set of hardware for now. I'm sure that they'll keep expanding it, but you'll want to make sure that what you have is actually compatible with that. And the other use for the virtual networks is when you actually have different pieces of your infrastructure in Windows Azure, but not in the same cloud service. So if you remember, I was talking about earlier when we're moving things over, if you put your virtual machines in an existing cloud service, right, or that network boundary, then everything in there talks very well to each other. Perfect. But what if you have some of your solution in one cloud service, some of your solution in another? You actually need that capability to talk across cloud services. So virtual networks can actually do that for you as well. And then it almost treats it as if it was the same network. We talked about, when we're talking about managing the virtual machines, and I touched upon this actually in when I was showing you those PowerShell scripts, what you want to think about when you're migrating is actually, and for whatever reason, a lot of people think this way when they're moving things over. They seem to think that once your application is in Windows Azure, especially on a virtual machine, that for whatever reason, it's actually a different beast and it can't actually be managed the same way, so on and so forth. I can tell you, and I actually encourage you to try this yourself. That's actually why you're watching these workshops, right? The idea is to learn it and then actually go and do it. The virtual machines in Windows Azure are actually no different than the virtual machines that you have on premises. And that's actually the beauty of it. We talked about this in the Cloud Variations workshop, where because they're the same, it allows you to move back and forth. So let's say you move to the cloud, and then let's say you need to scale down a bit, so you move out of the cloud, and then you can move back into the cloud. More importantly, from a management perspective, all of your existing management pieces, let's say you're using System Center, for example, all of your management pieces actually still work, right? And they work the same way. The only thing that you actually want to make sure that you do, again, depending on what your management solution is, you want to make sure that the connectivity there, and that's probably going to be, from a migration perspective, probably going to be your only hurdle, if you will, that you have to overcome, because you'll have to make sure that those systems actually can talk to each other. If you're using a cloud-based service, let's say that monitors your applications, that actually might be even easier because it's already configured to, you know, work out on a public network, right? But if today you're using something like System Center, or you're using some other monitoring or management solutions that sort of assume that your solution is on an internal network, that's where those virtual networks are going to come in to make sure that it takes care of the bridge for you, okay? And we'll make sure that your whatever you have on premises can actually talk to Windows Azure and vice versa. Last point on there, again, just a reminder, when you're talking about managing virtual machines, you want to make sure that you get on the PowerShell, or again, create your own applications in whatever language it is that you develop. Everything that the PowerShell scripts do, they just talk back and forth to the service management API, which is a REST-based API. So whatever language you're building your apps in, you can use that to create your own management solutions, or use the various tools, combine them with PowerShell, and you can manage it that way. When we're talking about scripting capabilities, when we're talking about PowerShell, and you'll hear I'm constantly talking PowerShell. It's actually fundamentally important from a functionality perspective because it actually gives you the full support that you need. So if you're not wanting to develop something, or you actually want to give the full capabilities to your infrastructure folks in your company, the same access to functionality that you have on the development side, they also have from the PowerShell side. And if you are an infrastructure professional and you're watching this, the they that I keep talking to, developers, it's a developer workshop, but in case you're watching, that's you, right? Don't worry about having to develop things when you can actually just script things. And when I say script, and when I say full capability, it's literally everything: provisioning, removing, rebooting, starting, importing, networks, so on and so forth, right? So use it. The scripting capabilities are there. There's no reason why you can't get comfy. And I can tell you, for the longest time, I was avoiding PowerShell because I thought it was hard. But you saw when we were doing those demos, I mean, it's not rocket science. And the Azure team that's been working on these commandlets, I've actually made it superbly easy to work with them. So highly recommend you do that. Now, from a demo perspective of scaling up and scaling down, I'll just show you again here on my screen when we look at these scripts. Before, we were looking at these scripts and we were looking at them from a management capabilities. Now let's look at a specific function in terms of scaling up and down, right? That's what we're doing in here. I'm saying, hey, I already have, let's say, IIS 1 and 2 up and running in Windows Azure, right? Now I want to add in 3 and 4. I've captured their settings, okay? So I can do that in my PowerShell here, and then I just do new Azure VM, right? So we talked about this before from a management perspective, but now think about it from specifically scaling, right? Think about how you can even automate your scaling. Let's say System Center picks up on an event in one of the instances and it says, hey, you know what? I need more juice, or I need more of something, right? It can actually go ahead and execute the script for you, and then it'll go in and scale up. So this is going to scale up to 2 more instances of something that you already have. And then you have the other script that goes along with it, which is the remove, and does the opposite, which again, you can attach to whatever management suite you're using. So basically, believe it or not, that's the end in terms of the things that you need to think about from a migration perspective, right? So you want to think about, first of all, you want to think about what approach am I going to take? And that really depends on what your application is. For example, if you have an application with multiple, data sets and configuration and so on and so forth, probably better to just bring your own VHD and move it over. But again, use this opportunity to think about, is this an opportunity for me to start with a fresh environment and maybe reconfigure everything? If it's easy to do that with your application, it's an opportunity to, make sure that you tweak for the future and not necessarily bring the past with you, because that sounds negative, but bring what works today with you that may potentially not work in the future. So once we've decided on approach, right, then you want to think about, okay, how do I organize my networks? Not a problem. And then you start thinking about the manageability of it, right? So you think about, how do I, from this point moving forward, how do I provision new instances of my application? And that's where you're thinking about the imaging and the templates and all that kind of stuff. And then you're thinking about, well, how do I monitor and how do I, get access to the systems to do the systems management that I need to do, right? And as long as you have that connectivity in place with virtual networks, then you can use everything that you're using today. Or again, if you need to make tweaks there, then that's the opportunity to do it. And then last but not least, you want to think about from a scale perspective in terms of, so today I only need 1 or 2 or whatever my current infrastructure is. But remember, in as much as Azure Virtual Machines are, from an operating system perspective, the same as what you have on premises, the hardware actually might be different. What that means is that you want to think about, you know, if I have two today, do I actually need two? Maybe I only need one because the virtual machines that work in Windows Azure maybe are more powerful than what I have on mine, right? So again, as much as it's a migration process, I want you to think about, and most importantly think about, is you're migrating the application, you're not necessarily migrating the infrastructure, right? You're migrating it to infrastructure as a service for sure, but think about it from an application level, not from, well, this is my current hardware today. And if at the end of the day, once you've gone through all the thinking, you've done all the analysis, you've gone through all the different approaches to see what works best, you still come to the conclusion that the best way to move this application is to move it as is, go ahead and do that. It'll work just fine in Windows Azure, and then you have the opportunity to tweak from there. So we'll go ahead, we'll take a small break, and we'll get prepared for the next session. Make sure that you tune in. We'll talk about sort of the same kind of concept as migrating to infrastructure as a service, but now we'll talk about it from the nuances of moving into platform as a service, which may actually be potentially better for your application. Okay? Stay tuned.